Do you like making people laugh? Laughter can bring joy and helps us bond even in the hardest of times. In today's No Sleep, we'll learn why laughter can be the last thing you want to hear. There is an old rundown path you can take. Situated deep within the secluded woodlands of a deserted town you will never know the name of. There are no hospitals, stations, or hotels for miles on end. It will just be you in this path. You can feel the withered cicadas being crushed under your feet, and the chilling wind passing secrets in the trees. You can marvel at the bright orange and yellow canopies showering leaves all around you as you make your way through the foliage that has seeped its way into the deteriorating soil. You can see how the god rays illuminate through every natural crevice, and you can think all is perfect. But, like the saying, there is no light without darkness. A darkness stalked these woods in a different form you cannot imagine, and what it can offer you will seem too good to resist. Do not fall for its schemes. It avoids the strong-willed, but easily picks off the gullible. If you follow the same path to the end, you can emerge to a vast hillside. You can stand where I once stood, and in the distance will be the ruins of an old, stone-walled orphanage. The structure was not always an orphanage. Its history dated back years, with an origin as a monastery. Its conversion sought to help the poor children who had no homes nor families to go to and become a warm refuge to those helpless souls, one of which included me. I was very young at the time, and I remember arriving at the orphanage in the back of a coughing truck. It was a miracle how it managed to not break down at the speed it moved. The other boys and I desperately clung on for our lives the entire trip. Something felt out of place as my feet touched the gravel walkway leading up to the towering mahogany doors. I did not know if the other boys could feel it too. The silence, however, indicated what we all sensed inside. There was nowhere else to go. It was either this or living on the streets. The doors opened with a creak, and an elderly nun approached the vehicle, leaving indents in the gravel with each step. She softly spoke something to the driver, who gave us all a smirk before reversing out of the lot. She then beckoned us to follow. Getting closer, the orphanage stood taller than ever. I nervously stayed behind the other kids until we reached the doors. The nun held the door open for us and ushered us in. From the moment I stepped foot through that entrance, it became my home. I learned later that the nun's name was Miss Edith, and she was the head coordinator of the other nuns and workers. We had a quick orientation in one of the mini auditoriums. She explained that the orphanage had many levels and that it was easy to get lost very quickly. Towards the end of the lecture, Miss Edith's tone became very serious, and she laid out the ground rules, most of which were fairly straightforward until she asserted the last one.
"Every day, before any of the clocks in this orphanage strikes 6 p.m., all of you must be present in this auditorium. Your very lives depend on it."
Whispers erupted between the boys, along with confused looks.
"Quiet! This may sound absurd to some of you, but I assure you, it is for your own good. A dangerous power dwells within the forest around this orphanage, and it awakens each day after 6 p.m. when the sun sets. None of you are trained to withstand it yet. Therefore, until we teach you, you must be here to avoid its effects. Hence, why there are no windows in this particular room. It is the safest location of the entire orphanage and can accommodate all of you. She continued, This process will take some time to get used to. Everyone must be accounted for 30 minutes to an hour prior to 6 p.m. The doors to this room will be locked afterwards, and no one is let in or out. Am I clear? We nodded. Any brief questions or concerns? One of the kids raised his hands. Miss, what exactly are we hiding from? Giggles, boy. Voices that giggle. They may sound like children playing or singing at certain times, and they may seem to appear from all directions. They will ask you questions that will induce you to respond. If you even utter one word, it will not end well. I promise to you all what lurks behind these sounds is a malignant force you do not want to encounter if you are not prepared properly.
How long does it take to prepare?
Another boy asked. It depends. Some of you may be born with the gift already. Others need time to build a defense. We will find out as the training begins in the next few weeks. I urge you all once again, obey this rule exactly, or face the consequences. We had more inquiries, but she agreed to answer them at a different time. We were assigned to our rooms, and we tried to get settled to our new surroundings. Hours later, at around 5:15, all the boys anxiously piled into the auditorium. The nuns and workers were present as well, and we patiently waited for 6 p.m. to arrive. Once the clock in the space struck 6 o'clock exactly, we braced for what was to come. Except, nothing extraordinary happened. We ended up waiting in silence for the next 2 hours, and apart from partial vibrations that shook the wall slightly, nothing else occurred. The process went on for the next week or so, and we began to get used to it little by little. I was beginning to think nothing of it until Herod committed the unexplainable. Herod was a bulky, disobedient fool. He loved getting into trouble and especially enjoyed picking on the younger, less fit kids. Unfortunately, since I was one of the smallest kids there, his prime hobby was getting me into trouble. On that fateful day, 40 minutes before 6 p.m., he dragged me down to the basement level and locked me in one of those restrooms as a humorous punishment. Herod, cut it out. It's not my fault Miss Edith caught you stealing in her office.
Shut up, dwarf. Always ruining the fun for the rest of us.
Herod, you know the rules. We don't get to the auditorium. We're screwed. Let me out of here.
You really believe that crap? You know it's fake, right? They pile all the idiots into that room so they can go through our stuff in the quarters. I know what they're trying to do, and I'm not buying their act.
Okay, believe whatever the hell you want. Look, I'm sorry. Just get me out of here. He chuckled.
Yeah, right. Stay here, dwarf, while I go explore.
I begged some more and rattled the door, but he was already gone by then. I spent the next crucial minutes brute-forcing the door with my shoulder, almost dislocating it. Since the entire building was very old and the basement room appeared to not be in use for decades, rust and grime had weakened the hinges. After losing a lot of time, I astoundingly managed to shove my way out. The corridors were the trickiest to navigate, since the lower level surroundings were unfamiliar to me. Just as I stepped into one of the hallways, I heard the chime of several clocks. It was already 6 p.m. I frantically began to pick up my pace and immediately spotted Herod at the far end of the same corridor, standing next to one of the windows with his back towards me. His ears were pressed against the glass. "Herod!" I screamed. He stepped back. Stunned not from my voice, but from the window that began shuddering violently. I bolted as fast as my legs could carry me, yet I was still not able to reach him in time. The window pane at the far end of the hallway shot open, and I could see the instant, stunned expression on Herod's face.
Ominous lights flickered around his irises. Multiple giggles and voices bounced off the walls of that narrow chamber in unusual, childish tones, mimicking nursery rhymes. I bit my tongue hard, squinted my eyes, and pushed my way towards him. It felt as if I was battling an invisible current. The giggles continued to resound around me in spontaneous repetitions, and it got tougher the closer I approached Herod. When I finally reached him, he was still in a trance, and his gaze remained unaltered. The giggles were more prevalent than ever. I grabbed his shoulders and attempted to shake him out of the spell, but to no avail. As my efforts vainly whittled away, the giggles interrupted with one last question, in a soothing lullaby-like tone. It took every fiber of my being to not respond. A lifetime of neglect and abandonment sat at the tip of my tongue, along with depression and anger, aching to finally explode, to finally receive what I longed for. But do you remember when I differentiated the strong-willed from the gullible? I dug my teeth into the surface of my tongue. I could taste the blood from the ruptured vessels. I attempted once more to grab Herod, although he unconsciously resisted again, and he was abnormally strong to fight against. I watched in dismay as watery streams trickled down his scarred cheeks and a faint smile tugged across his dazed expression. Only one word escaped his lips. Yes. At this point, this is where my recollection is a little foggy. The confines of my mind vaguely recall a flash of tremendous bright light before the window shattered. I saw myself lying on the floor, heavily disoriented, staring at the spot where Herod once was. What remained in its place were only Herod's shoes and clothing, drenched in red and spread across in perfect unison, never to witness their owner's return. Many days have passed after that incident, days that have now become countless years. Today, what is left behind is only a pile of rubble with the answers to my questions buried under it. Nevertheless, time has still revealed one secret. The giggles were not just from any random source. Instead, they were molded from the voices of those who disobeyed the rule and had to face the true consequences. If you liked the video, please like, comment, and subscribe. Because if you don't, I think I feel a little giggle coming on. If you prefer podcasts, I'll upload every episode to my podcast, The Silver Threads Podcast, available on popular podcast platforms. If you have a story suggestion or want to talk to me, email me at storiesforsilverthreads@gmail.com. Thank you all for listening, and I'll see you next time with another story.